Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. All right. Good evening, everybody. It's great to be in the house of the Lord tonight, and I don't know how, obviously you all do too, or you wouldn't be here, but I love Sunday night services. There's so much more family atmosphere maybe, and laid back, and you can put your arm around your wife and squeeze on her just like Ronnie did, and you know, we're just like old home folk, and you can even squeeze on somebody that's not your husband, can't you, Rhonda? Anyways, everybody's pretty sweet on old Bobby back there. He's a pretty good boy. Anyways, it's a joy to be here tonight, and it's a blessing to be with you all. And I don't know what God's going to do through you all in 2019, but when you look back at the goodness of God in 2018, And you see everything that he did this past year, I'm excited about what God's going to do this next year. And I'm looking forward to it. And I just want to be a part of whatever God wants to do. You know, Henry Blackaby wrote a great, great piece of material back in, I believe it was the 70s, late 70s, called Experiencing God. Y'all remember that? And Dr. Blackaby said, just find out where God's working, what he's doing, and just join him. Just join him. And so that's what I'm going to do in 2018. See where God's working, what he's doing, what he's up to. And I'm just going to jump in there with Jesus. And I hope you all will too. Let's pray. Father, thank you for another evening that we have to gather together. It's always a blessing to be here and to be a part of what you're doing at Second Mile Church. And I thank so grateful, Lord, for these others that are always here on Sunday night from other churches and other places. And Lord, what it all boils down to is really there's only one church. There's only one family of God. And we're here tonight to lift up our great Savior. We want to make much of Him. And I thank you again for Dwight. And we just want to stop right now and pray for Gloria as she recovers over these next few months from this fall. And we're grateful she didn't have to have surgery, but Lord, she's in a lot of pain. And so I ask, Lord, that the Holy Spirit that lives within her might just heal her right now. Thank you, Lord, that we can pray to a God who loves to heal His people. And so we lift up Gloria Dixon tonight to you, and many others are on our hearts and minds as well. But God, most of all, we just want to bring glory and honor to Jesus tonight. It's in His name we pray. Amen. Glad we have the Bible to tell us what we need to believe and what we need to know. I'm grateful for the Word of God. And I don't know, sometimes I had a message all prepared out of Ezekiel 9, 10, and 11 about what do you do when the glory goes. And about the glory of God departing from the temple, and it went out over the glory of God, not only went out over the temple, it went out the eastern gate and out up over the Mount of Olives and left this world until the Lord Jesus Christ, and the glory was gone for over 400 years until Jesus was born, and then the glory of God was back on the earth again. And then that glory left when Jesus, but now we have the glory of God in the person of the Holy Spirit. But I just, on the way down here tonight, I just began to talk to the Lord, and I said, God, is this the message I really need to pray? Believe it or not, your pastor really does pray about what does the Holy Spirit of God want to deliver to His people. And so, we're going to depart from Ezekiel 9, 10, and 11 tonight. And we're facing a new year. And there's going to be some tough times. There's going to be some battles that we're going to all have to go through. There's going to be some good times, but there's going to be some tough times. And you know, the society that we're living in, I've had several people tell me lately that our country is even more divided than we were during the Civil War. Because in the Civil War, there was differences of opinion about slavery, obviously, but everybody served the same God. And you didn't have all these other gods and all that. And so we're racially divided, we're denominationally divided, we've got all this division going on in our country, and in that setting, we're trying to grow God's church. And I tell you, I learned a long time ago in the ministry, if you're going to build, you're going to have to battle. And then there's other issues going on I was talking to Bobby and Donna back here, and I think half of Clarksville's in the hospital tonight somewhere. I've been in and out of the hospitals. They're all full, not only here but in Nashville. Everybody's got the flu and pneumonia and all this stuff. And some folks, you know, when older folks get pneumonia, boy, it stretches their heart out. And some folks will die from that. And so there's tough things happening. Our kids, I think about that millennial generation that stood up in here today, those born from 78 to 2000, that's the largest generation. There's 103 million of those folks here, and yet 9 out of 10 of them have no relationship with Christ. The millennial generation is having children, and the next generation after them is even, those stats are even worse when you start looking at spiritual things. Let me tell you what the devil is using against our kids today. Most of you can probably guess this. Drugs and alcohol. He is killing our kids with that stuff. The opioid epidemic is huge. And all you've got to do to get hooked to that stuff is just take one of them. It's that addictive. And so the evil one is using that to really get our kids sidetracked. And then, the home. I remember my dad, Susan, I don't know if you remember this, sitting around the family table one night, told us that so goes the home, so goes the nation. My daddy said that 40 years ago around the dinner table. And the home is under attack. And I want to tell you, just because you're saved and you're a Christian does not mean that you're not under attack, right? And so he's after us. And he's got, and I want to tell you, he's after the pastors today too. I can't tell you how many brothers in the ministry have fallen this year because the devil's got a bullseye on every church, and the bullseye's on that pastor. He wants to take as many pastors out as he can. And there's 1.5 million Americans in prison or jail tonight. I said 1.5 million Americans in prison or jail tonight. And then this horrible statistic I saw on Facebook this afternoon when I was checking my messages. There was an ultrasound of this little baby in his mama's womb, and he was smiling and giggling and laughing. You could tell, and it was almost like he was waving, you know. We have slaughtered over 50 million babies in this country since Roe versus Wade. And so any spiritual thermometer you want to use, we're up against it. We're trying to grow a church in this mess. And I didn't even touch on all the sexual immorality that's going on today. And so, I've been in this text before, but I haven't spent a lot of time with a bunch of cute illustrations and, you know, word studies and all of that. But I want us to go to Judges chapter 7 tonight. And I believe the Word of God is going to show us and share with us how to have victory. How to have victory in this kind of society. How are you going to battle the evil one? How are you going to come out on top in your family? How in your business? I'll tell you, business men and women are up against it tonight. How as a teacher in your school, how are you going to have victory? How are we going to build this church down here on Riverside Drive? Well, there's several key factors in Judges chapter 7. So let me read the first three or four verses here. Then, are y'all with me? Judges 7? Everybody there? Okay. Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the well of Herod, so that the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, "The people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, 'Mine own hand has saved me.' Now, therefore, proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, 'Whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead.' And 22,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained." All right, have y'all got the picture right now? You got these two armies. You got the Midianite army over here on the hill of Moreh, and then you got the Israelite army who's over here by the well of Herod. And I don't know if you remember this, Shannon, Susan, but we were in that vicinity, in that area, when we were in Israel back in May. And y'all keep saving your money. We're going back as a church family, okay, in 2020. So y'all got the deer in the headlights look. Is that the first time I've mentioned that? Anyways, we're going back to Israel. Anyways, you're going to go back one day if you're a child of God, whether you want to or not. You're coming down. Anyways, that's another sermon too. So, but you've got these two armies. You've got the Midianite army, and chapter 8, I believe, tells us there's 135,000 Midianites. 135,000. And then you've got the Israelite army, and how many strong are they? 32,000. And God comes to Gideon, and he says, "Gideon, your army is too what?
Too big."
Too big. Now, what's up with that? I mean, either God's got a wicked sense of humor, or he wants Gideon to... Now, obviously, God has a sense of humor. I mean, look right here. Right? He's allowing me to preach and to pastor a church. Obviously, God's got a sense of humor. But I believe it's the latter. I believe God wants to teach Gideon a lesson. And so the odds now, get this, are 4-1 against Gideon and the Israelite army. 4-1. For every one Israelite soldier, there's 4 Midianite soldiers. What's fair about 4-1? Not much. But I've done the math here, and I'm not a great mathematician, but that's what it is, about 4-1. And what's fair about 4-1? Not much, except what really matters is who's on your side. Y'all wake up with me. What really matters is who's on your side. And so God comes to Gideon, he says, "Gideon, the army is too big." And here's the lesson I believe he's wanting Gideon to learn. Sometimes God will give us a great victory, and he'll provide healing for us. Or we'll take up a great Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Or we'll experience a tremendous move of God in a revival services. And by the way, they've got something really cool going on down at Yellow Creek Baptist Church this week. I would encourage y'all to attend. The High Road, the three girls who did the hit gospel song with Jason Crabb, they're leading the music and the worship down there. And my buddy Dr. Rock Collins is bringing it. He's the preacher down there this week, so y'all ought to head down there. How did I get off on all this? But anyways, the army's too big. And so he's trying to teach Gideon a lesson. Sometimes God will move in a great way, and we look back and we say, oh, wasn't that a great revival? Wasn't that a fantastic offering? Didn't we do great ministry over there at Summit Heights? I mean, God has healed us. And instead of God getting the glory, he gets put on the back burners back here somewhere, and we get the glory. You see, God, I believe, wanted to be sure that Gideon gets the victory, but God wanted to be sure that he got the glory. That's bad grammar, but great theology. God wants to receive the glory whenever he moves on our behalf. And so, did you catch that? How he said, Gideon, I've got. Here's how you're going to divide these soldiers of yours. I want you to go down to the camp, and he says, basically, I want you to excuse the cowards. Can I just tell you, that is the first key to victory. Excuse the cowards. Say that with me. Excuse the cowards. Now, he goes down to the army, and he says, okay, fellas, I've got a word from our commander-in-chief. He says whoever's afraid to fight can go home. And y'all, 22,000 out of 32,000 caught the first chariot back home. 22,000 turned tail and ran. And I want to tell you, that is a picture of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. We have become good at fleeing and bad at fighting. We'd rather sing Hold the Fort instead of Onward Christian Soldiers. But that doesn't exactly line up with what the Word of God teaches us. We're to be storming the gates of hell. We're to be a mighty, moving, marching army, and our weapons are not carnal. They are mighty in God. And our weapons are faith. Give me some of our weapons. Prayer. Fasting. Oh, hallelujah. Here comes the Sunday morning service. All right. What else? Yeah, testimonies. Love. Faith. Hope. And the greatest of these is? And so we're to be a mighty, moving, marching army going forward. And 22,000 get on the first chariot back home. And God says, Gideon, I want you to get the glory. I want you to get the victory, but I want to be sure I get the glory. And what you've got to do is excuse the cowards. And I want to tell you, as a pastor, I have heard this so many times. You know, the pastor will get along with God in his study and pray and talk to God and try to figure out where do we need to go in 2019. And I believe in pastoral authority. I don't ever remember anybody talking to John Lyda out of sorts with him. I'm sure it happened. I did, Gail, one time walk into the office years ago when Brother John was our pastor, and I was one of his brand new. Well, I don't think I was quite a deacon. I was maybe a deacon in training or whatever they call that. And this lady came into the office, and I mean, she dressed your daddy up one side and down the next. And then he tried to get her to calm down a little bit, and he said, just step back here in the office with me. And he left the door open. I mean, she just kept screaming and hollering. And finally, she left in a huff. And he came out and said, anybody want to go to lunch? You know? That's the attitude the child of God needs to have, you know. And so I see in the church the pastor will get to praying and try to figure out what it is that God wants the church to do. And I still believe God works through shepherds. I do. I believe that way. I'm old school when it comes to this stuff. Doesn't mean God can't use deacons and God can't use other folks. But the servant leader of the church is the pastor. And so the pastor will pray and then he'll share with his men and his deacons. And I tell you what, when the pastor and the deacons are working like this, man, the church multiplies. When the pastor's doing what he's supposed to do and the deacons are doing what they're supposed to do, or the elders or whatever you want to call that, I mean, when that goes together like this, the church blossoms and goes forward. And so sometimes though, what you have to do is you've got to excuse the cowards. Let me just share something real quick with you. Back a few years ago at my last church, I knew beyond the shadow of a doubt, and I tell you, I'll never ask y'all to do anything I'm not 100% sure we need to do. Because I'm going to have to answer, not to the Southern Baptist Convention president, and not to the mayor of, I'm going to have to answer to God for the way I conduct the ministry that He gave me here. You see, there is accountability. I'm accountable to God, and I'm secondly accountable to you all. And so, I came to our people, and I said, here's what I believe God wants us to do. And we were plumb out of space with our children. And you know where our children were meeting? Down in a mildewed, is that even a word? In the basement of the church. There was no bathroom. Can you imagine? No bathroom down there in the basement. And we're running over with children in the basement. And it's nasty. It's the oldest part of the church building. It stinks. We had two dehumidifiers. And those things were sucking up so much water down there, you had to empty them four times every morning. And so it was like a no-brainer to me. We need to build a children's building, a children's wing. And so I brought that to our deacons, first of all, and then started mentioning it to some of the people in the church, some of the other leadership. And here's some of the comments I heard. That costs way too much money. Like God's broke. And God can't fund this thing. And then I heard this. Well, Brother Cal, that's a good idea, but we've the seven last words of the church. We've never done it that way before. That's going to be on a church's tombstone one day. And when you start hearing stuff like that, you just need to recognize who it is that you're dealing with. Cowards. I'm giving y'all truth tonight. And so that's what needs to take place in our lives this year. When we're in battle and we're trying to go forward and we're trying to have victory and trying to get God the glory for it, you just know that the cowards are all amongst you, and you just need to say, love you, but see you later. 22,000 of them got on the first chariot back home right here. Y'all with me? How many of y'all are mad at me yet? Okay, yeah, uh-huh. All right, here's the second key to victory. First one is excuse the... Here's the second one, verse 4. But the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. You think Gideon was scratching his head? Bring them down. The people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I'll test them for you there. Then it will be that of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, the same shall go with you. And of whomever I say to you, this one shall not go with you, the same shall not go. But he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps from the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself, likewise everyone who gets down on his knees to drink. And the number of those who lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink water. Then the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other people go, every man to his place. Now, the odds were 4-1. Now they're 14-1. 135,000 against 10,000. 14-1. And God says, Gideon, you still got too many folks. You still got too many in your army. Not going to work. What would you have said to the Lord? Yes. Absolutely. Lord, are you okay here? It sounds to me like you've got a grape shy of a fruit salad here. You know? But God said, you send the boys down to the river. Now remember, the army of God had been out marching in that hot Palestinian sun. They're preparing for battle with the Midianites, all right? And so he said, you send them down to the river and I'll separate them for you again down there. And so He sends the 10,000. He marks, walks down to the camp and he said, "Boys, I've got another word for you from our commander-in-chief. God says we're all supposed to go down to the river and get a drink of water." And so all 10,000 of them head for the river. And 9,700 of them are on a dead run. And they get down to the river and they fall face down in the water. And because all they can think about is getting a drink of water. Now remember, they're on duty. They're supposed to be on guard. They're at war. One of the dangers, there's two dangers in war. Overestimation, believing your enemy is really more powerful than he is. And number two, underestimation. These 9,700 soldiers had forgotten who they were and what they were to be about. They'd grown careless. Now, I got to, what is this mess here about getting down on one knee and lapping the water like a dog laps? I thought, what is that all about? But I did some studying several years ago when I was in this text. And you know what I found out? The Egyptian guard dogs used to train down by the Nile River. And that's how they trained all of those guard dogs. And they trained them to be careful, not careless like these soldiers. And so they would lap the water on the Nile River as they went along. Why? Because the Nile River is full of crocodiles. And so these 9,700 soldiers had just fallen face first into the water. They're submerged in the water and all they're thinking about is getting a drink. But you've got these other 300 soldiers that are down on one knee. Their heads up. They're on duty. They're on guard. They're looking around and they're lapping the water like those Egyptian guard dogs. They're on duty. And God says, "You take that 300-man army and I'm going to give you the victory and I'm going to get the glory." You see, the 9,700 had grown careless. And I want to tell you, this is what happens to good Christian people. Our churches are full of people who will fight, but they get careless in their prayer life. Loretta mentioned it a minute ago. They don't spend the time that they need in prayer. It happens to pastors too. And they forget that they're accountable to their servant leadership team. And before you know it, a counseling situation has gone awry and he is in a bad situation. It happens. And I don't believe any Christian, especially any pastor, gets up one day and says, "You know what? This is going to be the day I drag the name of the Savior through the mud." It happens more. It's just a kind of a downward spiral. You miss your time with the Lord in the morning. Before long, you've missed your time at church. I was talking to somebody this past week. And they said, "Cal, I hadn't been in church in weeks. And I never meant for it to happen, to be this way." But you know what he said? He said, "You know, it is so hard to get back in church when you fall out of church." That's why Teddy Bigger, that's why his testimony blessed me last Wednesday night. It is so hard to get back in. And let me tell you, when you get away from God's house and God's people, do you know the only direction you're going to go? This way. Right? I tell you what, we need one another. We need one another. I know what I'm talking about. I spent 4.5 years running from God. And I want to tell you, where I wound up wasn't a good place, and you don't want to get there either. Carelessness is killing the church, though. If you're not careful, you know, I think the natural tendency for the child of God is not to draw closer to God, it's to fall farther away from God. You have to be intentional about drawing near to God. And that begins with your prayer life, with your Bible study time, with your witnessing, with all these things that we talked about, right? And so he said, Gideon, you exclude the careless. And this year, in 2019, you know what the devil does to me? He knows he's not going to make me bad. I'm not going to go out here and sell, you know, dope and all that stuff and hopefully be on the front. Hopefully you won't see your pastor on the front page of the Lee Chronicle for doing something stupid. I could. But he'll get me busy. And then I'll miss God's best. And it's so easy to get careless. Right? And so he says, Gideon, you see these 300 men over here? They're more interested in conquest than they are in comfort. I'll use these 300. If you're taking notes, that was a good time to make a few notes. God's interested in men and women who are more interested in conquest than they are in comfort. Here's the third thing. And this is pretty obvious. The third way you're going to have victory this year and the way this church is going to enjoy victory and third way God's going to get is to enlist the committed. Excuse the cowards, exclude the careless, and enlist the committed. Let's read on. Are y'all still with me? Verse 8, so the people took provisions and their trumpets in their hands, and he sent away all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, and retained those 300 men. Now the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. And it happened in the same night that the Lord said to him, arise, go down against the camp, for I have delivered it into your hand. But if you are afraid to go down to the camp with Purah your servant. And you shall hear what they say, and afterward your hands shall be strengthened to go down against the camp. Then he went down with Purah, his servant, to the outpost of the armed men who were in the camp. Now the Midianites and the Amalekites, all the people of the east, were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts, and their camels were without number as the sand by the seashore in the multitude. And when Gideon had come, there was a man telling a dream to his companion. He said, I've had a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian. It came to a tent and struck it so that it fell and overturned and the tent collapsed. Then his companion answered and said, this is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. Into his hand God has delivered Midian and the whole camp. And so it was when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation that he worshipped. He returned to the camp of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hand. Isn't that faith? Then he divided the 300 men into three companies. And he put a trumpet into every man's hand with empty pitchers and torches inside the pitchers. And he said to them, look at me and do likewise. Watch. And when I come to the edge of the camp, you shall do as I do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, then you also blow the trumpets on every side of the whole camp and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 300 men who were with him came to the outpost of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just as they had posted the watch, and they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers that were in their hands. Then the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers. They had held the torches in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands for blowing, and they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And every man stood in his place all around the camp, and the whole army ran and cried out and fled. When the 300 blew the trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp. And the army fled to Beth Acacia, toward Zerera, as far as the border of Abel Meholah by Tabith. The odds are now 450 to 1. 450 to 1. By the way, I remember some prophet up on Mount Carmel that had the same odds against him. You remember his name? Elijah. Remember the 450 prophets of Baal? Well, same odds against Gideon and his army. God says, you enlist the committed. You take those little puny, insignificant 300 man army you've got, and I'm going to give you the victory through them. Now, if you stop and just look at history, You know, one person can make a huge difference.
Yes.
Just one person who's totally sold out and committed to the Lord. Just one person can make a difference. Winston Churchill saved England. And of course, I'm a big football fan. Vince Lombardi led the 1960 Green Bay Packers to heights never scaled before in professional football. I remember me and Dad watching Super Bowl III together, and Dad was a Broadway Joe fan. And we watched Joe Namath take the 18-1 underdog New York Jets to victory in Super Bowl III. Just one man can make a difference. I remember Lee Iacocca. He saved Chrysler. You remember Charles Haddon Spurgeon?
Yes.
Whew. You remember Dwight L. Moody?
Yes.
I mean, just one person totally surrendered. I think about the mother of Jesus, Mary. Look at the difference she made. She brought the Savior of the world. Just one person totally sold out and committed to the Lord. God can use anybody who's willing to do what He wants them to do for His glory. And I sit here and I look at us tonight. Look around the room. It's okay. They won't bite you. Look around the room. What could God do with a little bitty small, insignificant number of men and women who love Jesus? The great Methodist preacher Charles Wesley once said, "You give me 100 men that love God and hate sin, and we'll turn the world upside down for Christ." Old John Wesley did a good job with that. What could God do? What could God do with a church? Any small group of people who were totally sold out. I'm going to tell you what, He could do anything. Anything. And so God gave Gideon the game plan. He says, "I want you to divide the 300 men into three different groups of 100 people each." And what about their weapons? They didn't have any AK-47s. They didn't have any Black Hawk helicopters. What'd they have? Trumpets and a torch in a clay pot. He said, at the right time, he said, we're going to get around the camp of the Midianites. And when I tell you all, you're going to take those trumpets and smash those clay pots and raise those torches and then blow on those trumpets and shout a sword for the Lord and a sword for Gideon."
Yeah.
And you know what? That's exactly what those 300 folks did. And when they did that, the 135,000 strong Midianite army panicked and began to run out of their tents, friendly fire, we would call it tonight, and began to run one another through with their swords. and those that weren't killed by their own sword, the Israelite army chased them and ran them down and won the victory. And that night, a little bitty, small, 300-man army, 451 odds against them, won a great victory. They chased that army from here to Montgomery Central and won a great victory for God. I want to tell you, it could happen right here at Second Mile Church this year. It could happen at First Baptist Church this year. And you know what? I'm of the opinion that God wants to do something great like this. He wants to do something great like this. But we've got to be willing to use God's weapons. Trumpets? Clay pots? Torches? Our weapons are not carnal. Our weapons are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Our weapons are different from what the world uses. But when we have the strongest power in the universe in the person of the Holy Spirit. We have the Spirit of the Lord Jesus with us. And I want to tell you, well, in 1776, you remember the United States Marines slogan back then, I think it's still their slogan today. I was thinking it was, we're looking for a few good men. And maybe that's what that Latin stuff means. I don't know. But here's the deal. God's looking for a few good men and a few good women tonight who will fight His battles and win His victories. And I'm just crazy enough to think that, you know what? With God before us and Jesus beside us and the Spirit within us and the Bible behind us, there is no foe we cannot face. There's no war we cannot win if we remain faithful and trustful and watchful to the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, that sits on the throne of this universe. Somebody on Sunday night give God some praise in here. Amen. And so I don't know where you are tonight, what kind of battle you're in, what kind of skirmish you're in, but you've got the keys for victory tonight. And you don't have anything to fear except fear itself. Do y'all know fear is not from God? Fear is from the devil. And if you're afraid of something tonight, just rear your head back and say, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of sound mind, love, and what? Faith. Yeah. So, we need to excuse the cowardice actions in our life. And then we need to exclude carelessness. Man, stay prayed up. Don't allow prayerlessness to sweep into your life. And I'm praying that during January, we'll get so fasted and prayed up that we'll be ready to storm the gates of hell in February. Maybe we won't have to wait that long. Because a prayerless people, they can be afraid. A prayerless people becomes a careless people. And if we'll just enlist the committee, in other words, we'll just abide and battle and fight by the principles of Scripture this year, we'll see God do things we never dreamed of. Would you pray with me? Lord, I really don't know why. And sometimes I never know why. On the way down here, you told me to jump off one horse in the middle of the stream and get on another one. But evidently there's somebody on the threshold of 2019 that's here tonight that needed to hear this message. And so I pray, God, for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that You would help us and that You would bless us with victory this year. And sometimes, I guess, Lord, we suffer defeat because we are fearful. And we're not faithful. And we're not careful. But God, I with every fiber of my being, I want to be more committed, more faithful to You than I've ever been in my life. I want to be what You want me to be. God, I want Your very best this year. And I'm going to give You all the praise for anything and everything that You do this year. Because You're worthy of all our praise. There's no one like You. And I pray for that single mom that's here tonight. I pray, God, for that discouraged widow here tonight. I pray, Father, for that weary businessman that's here tonight. I pray, God, for that humble deacon that's here tonight. I pray, Father, for those that are here that needed to hear what You wanted to say to us tonight. And so, God, we just receive it by faith this evening. I thank You, Lord, for Your grace and Your mercy. Help us to apply tonight what we have learned. Help us to put it into practice. Because it doesn't matter how many times we read the Word, if we don't do what the Word says, make us doers of the Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.